Why do some people succeed in having their prayers answered? Why do some people have this greater understanding when they're reading God's Word, like it's really coming alive and impacting their lives? Why do some people have that? Why do others reach more souls for Christ? Is it because they have more skill? Is it because they're geniuses or they're just lucky? What's going on there? The former president, Calvin Coolidge, made this statement. He said, "Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of perseverance. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts." Anyway, we're continuing our study through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching us to live upside down. And we're moving into a passage, into some statements by Jesus that are encouraging us to persevere, to press on, especially in our prayers, but also in our time in God's Word, in evangelism, in just living the Christian life, to press on, to persevere. I do believe that, and I'm really desiring that every one of us would really listen to the words of Jesus and what God's Word has to say. Because I know if we do, it's going to motivate us to be people of perseverance. When we're motivated to persevere, we're going to be motivated to cry out to God. And we're talking about the living God of the universe, the one who actually hears us, and the one who is able and willing to do more than we could ever hope for or imagine. So Jesus is calling us to persevere with that in mind. So let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be beginning in verse 7. Here are the words of Jesus. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." The call to perseverance. Persevere, persevere. It's oozing out of these words of Jesus. Here's the deal. When we look at the Greek in this particular passage, what we find is this call from Jesus is in the present tense. And what it is stressing in the present tense is continuous action. And so here's what Jesus is literally saying in these statements. He is saying, keep on asking. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. It will be opened to you. It's a call to perseverance. And in this, Jesus is revealing to us the power of perseverance. That's the title of the message. The power of perseverance. There's another neat thing that we find that jumps out at me in this particular passage of Scripture in these words of Jesus. Not only do we see this call to continual action, to persevere in asking, seeking, and knocking, but we also see this progression that Jesus is laying out for us. It starts with asking. That's the first level of pursuing God and going to the Lord. It's that level of asking. It's one level of inquiry. And then it kind of goes to the next level. Jesus says, okay, you can start with asking, but then let's go to the next level of seeking. Let's bump it up a notch here. And seeking is asking plus action. And then Jesus says, but you know what? I'm encouraging you to even go one step further and go to a third level of actually knocking. And what is knocking? Knocking is the asking plus the action of seeking plus persevering. One day, George Mueller, he's an amazing man of God that lived back in the day. He was a Christian evangelist. He was the director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. And this guy, he took care of 10,024 orphans throughout his life. He was an amazing man of God. And to do that, it took a lot of faith. And it took a lot of prayer. And there's amazing stories of how God answered this man's prayer. In his time of dire need, he would go to the Lord and the Lord would provide what he needed. Take care of George Mueller and take care of the children. Well, listen, this guy George, he began praying one day for five of his friends. You see, his friends were lost. And he wanted his friends to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He wanted them to find salvation in Christ alone. And so he started praying for these five friends. After many months, one of them came to Jesus and gave his life to Jesus. 10 years later, two more of his friends converted. It took 25 years before the fourth man was saved. Praise God. 25 years. But what about the fifth? What happened? I just want to stop and pause and just go, 25 years, by the way. For that fourth one. He's already been praying 25 years. Well, here's what happened to the fifth one. Mueller, he persevered in prayer until his death for his first friend. And throughout those 52 years of persevering and going to God and crying out for the salvation of his friend, he never gave up hoping that his friend would someday say yes to Jesus, come out of darkness into life, find eternal life and glory in Christ Jesus. And here's what happened. His friend did receive Christ. His friend received Christ soon after Mueller's funeral. Perseverance. This man, George Mueller, cried out to God day in and day out, year in and year out, 52 years. 52 years, and God was faithful to the cries of this faithful man's prayers and from his heart. Perseverance. This story that of George Mueller, it's so similar and so real for my life because my grandfather, some of you have heard the story. He passed away last year, October of last year, 6 months before he passed away. He was 96 years old, 6 months before he passed away. He finally said yes to Jesus. We're talking about decades, though. Decades of my mom, who was the first to come to Christ in our family. My mom and my dad, that generation, praying for his salvation. Decades of that. And then decades of my generation, of myself and my brother and my sister, praying for his salvation. And then a decade of the prayers of his great-grandchildren. My children, my brother and sister's children, praying sincerely, crying out to God for his salvation, for him to stop rejecting Jesus. And the Lord answered our prayers. Decades of crying out, of persevering. Too often, and I know this is true, I find myself guilty of this. And this, I just love teaching God's word because it really just, it hits me first before I even get to share it on a Sunday morning. I mean, the reality is too often we just walk away. We walk away without receiving. We'll pray. We'll ask. Maybe seek. Maybe knock. But we'll walk away without receiving. Too often we walk away too easily and too early. And this is why Jesus is encouraging us right here in this sermon. He's saying, I understand that you do that. Don't do that. I want to encourage you to persevere, to not give up, to not walk away from God, to not quit, but to press on and keep seeking. We're going to look at three things that really are rewarded and that really require perseverance and persistence. There are many others, but we're going to look at three of them this morning. The first one is that persistence is needed in prayer. Jesus often stressed perseverance and persistence when he taught on prayer. I want us to first turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, where we find this parable of the persistent friend. The persistent friend. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Hey, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up. I can't give you anything right now.'" Seems reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, come on, lights are out. He's already in bed. Don't want to wake up the kids anyway, right? Jesus continues. He says, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet," check this out, "yet, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." See what Jesus did there? See what he's pointing out? Why was the man rewarded? Was it because it was just one simple knock and walk away? No. He was rewarded because he kept asking, he kept seeking, and he kept literally knocking on this man's door, saying, "Come on." He didn't give up. Now, this is Jesus trying to teach us a principle on how to do life in the kingdom of God. He's teaching us a principle how to interact with our Heavenly Father. Now, I want to point out a couple things. The first thing is this, is that the man that was going up to his friend's house who needed some food, he didn't do what we will often do. When we don't want to offend anybody, right? We want to be really gentle and kind and everything. So we're going to walk up to our friend's door and we're kind of also a little fearful. What are they going to, what's my friend going to think of me? It's kind of late at night. I mean, do you ever run into that? You really need something. It's like after 9 o'clock at night and you're like, well, conventional wisdom says that, you know, and politeness just says you just don't call somebody after 9 o'clock, yet you really need to talk to somebody about something. And you go, well, maybe I'll just send them one text. And anyway, this guy didn't do that. He didn't go up to the guy's door and just say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to knock softly and I'm going to whisper. And if the guy comes to the door, then I know that I was supposed to go to the door and that he was supposed to help me. So I'm just going to go, "Hey, Bob. Bob, are you awake? I need some food. Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, he didn't come. I guess I wasn't supposed to get any food or any help from Bob. I better go away before, you know, I get embarrassed or offend him or something like that. He didn't do that. No, he went to the door and said, "I really, really need Bob's help." And so he's knocking. And Bob's even telling him, "I'm already in bed. What are you doing?" But he's like, "I know you're in bed, but I'm desperate. I need some help. And it's worth me waking you up and waking your kids up. I need help that bad." And his friend got up, Bob got up and went and got him all the food that he needed and said, "Okay, here you go. Here's what you need." And he took care of him. This is the parallel that we're looking at. Jesus is saying this because often we will go to God in that way. If you've never done this, you're one of the first I've ever met. Where you're like, you do this with God. You're like, okay, I really need this from God. I really would like this from God. I really need him to move on my behalf in that way. But I don't want to offend him. And I'm just going to go and I'm going to ask very gently and very, very softly of him. And if he answers my prayer right now in this way, then I know that that's what I was supposed to get. Or it was all supposed to happen. But if he didn't, then I'll just kind of go about my business and go, I'll figure, well, I guess it wasn't supposed to happen. And do any of you do that? I've done that. I've been guilty of that. And Jesus is saying, you know what? If you have a real sincere need, go to your Heavenly Father and ask him and keep asking him. And don't walk away. Don't be timid about it. I mean, here's the deal. Jesus is giving us permission to knock boldly, loudly, and often on the door of heaven. and ask God for our needs. That's amazing. And I know some of us go, well, wait a minute. You know, we can't do that with God. He's God. Yet Jesus is saying he understands that we're going to have that kind of reaction. And he's trying to correct it and say, no, that's what I'm telling you to do. Go to your Heavenly Father and knock and ask boldly, not pridefully, not demanding God. He is God. We are not. He's our Father. We are His children. But my kids, when they really need something, they keep coming to me and asking. They don't give up easily. You all know that as parents. There are times when your kids just don't give up easily. And often, you know what the result is? They get what they wanted. Because they keep asking. And they keep asking. Kids, I'm giving you a clue right now. I mean, I'm cluing you in right now. But you need to do it in a respectful manner. It's the same way with God. When my kids come to me respectfully, sincerely, for something that they really truly have a need for, not their fourth pair of basketball shoes, you know, but like maybe, anyway, their foot's grown and they need a new pair of shoes. And they come to me sincerely and they keep asking in a sincere, humble, polite way, yet they keep asking, seeking, and knocking for that. Man. My heart moves, and they typically get what they want. And God is saying, you know what? I'm the same way. You're my kids. You're my kids. Then let's go. Let's look at the persistent widow. It's also in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke 18, beginning in verse 1, Jesus told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Sometimes we wonder, what is God saying in this passage? Let's figure out what is the message God's really wanting us to understand. Well, here it is. Right here, Luke says, he told this parable so that we would understand that we should always pray and not give up. He said, verse 2, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. And her plea was, grant me justice against my adversaries. In other words, rescue me, God. Rescue me. Help me. I need help. How many of you find yourselves in that situation in life where you need help? Where you need somebody to come to your rescue? I saw about 6 hands go up in this whole room and I'm blown away. Wow, you're blessed. Come on, how many of you ever find yourself in a situation? We got to get a little interaction here going. Come on now. Where you need help. This woman needed help. So she went to this judge and asked for help. Verse 4, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet, because this widow, what? Keeps bothering me. Keeps bothering me. I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Sometimes my kids get what they want because I just don't want them to wear me out. Anyway. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Again, Jesus is encouraging us to be persistent in our prayers. He's not offended. God's not offended when we cry out day and night. He's not offended when we, quote, bother him with our needs. When we need him to intervene in our lives and we keep crying out, desperate for him to come and show up. He's not bothered by you when you do that. And Jesus is telling you, do it. Do it. Do it. Jesus is giving us the green light to bother God with our needs. That's pretty amazing. So we got persistence is needed in prayer. The second thing is persistence is needed in Bible study. How many people give up too soon before they start getting blown away by God's Word? I mean, I find myself sometimes I'm in the Word. I mean, I'm a pastor, right? Every time I read the Word, it's supposed to be like, wow, yes, thus saith the Lord, and this is... oh, you know, revelation every single time I open the Word of God. But there are times when I get in God's Word and it's like 5-10 minutes into it and my mind is racing all over the place and I'm like, I'm not getting anything. And here's the tendency. We can have a few of those experiences, which sometimes that happens, folks. It's just the reality of life, and our minds can get scattered, and we just need to sometimes go, okay, God, I'm closing it up, and I'm just praying, I'm getting on my knees, and I'm just going to sit quietly and just wait upon you. But there are times when we get in God's Word and we're like, I'm not getting anything, I'm not getting anything. And next thing you know, we get in His Word less and less because we're feeling like, I spent 5 minutes and it's just not coming alive. So you close the Bible and you walk away. And then it's maybe 3 or 4 days later next time that you get in it and you spend a couple minutes in it. Well, yeah, it's not really triggering and happening. So you walk away. Next thing you know, you're not in God's Word. And the persistent person is the one who's going to get rewarded with the revelation and the transformation and the power that comes from the very Word of God. And so I want to give a few scriptures here just to show you what happens when we are persistent students, when we're persistent followers of Christ, when we persevere and persist in going after the Word of God and staying in the Word of God. I mean, there are times when some of us in this room, and I know it, there's some of us in this room where sometimes we'll find ourselves 3-4 hours at a time in the Word of God. And it's in the third and fourth hour when amazing deeper revelation and even ministry from the Holy Spirit that comes out of the Word and touches our lives. I'm not saying that we can have those experiences every single day, but if it's been a while since you've spent a couple hours at one time just meditating on the Word of God, spending time in His Word, I encourage you to set aside a day in the next season of your life where you will get away for a day with God and His Word and just start letting it come alive to you. Do it. Check this out. In Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. Now check this out, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Bible, in the Word of God. And on his law, on the Word of God, he meditates day and night, persistence, staying in it. Letting it be the thing that washes his mind, his thoughts, the Word of God. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Perseverance, time in God's Word is rewarded. But it requires perseverance. It often does. Day and night. Day and night. And then we look also in Psalm. This is in Psalm 119. That short one. Psalm 119. Just kidding. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. How I love your Word. I meditate on it all day long. I don't let it out of my mind, man. I just think about it all day long. Your Word. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. Now, see what happens when we meditate on His Word. Check these out. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. Let's just stop. Quit reading ahead. Quit reading ahead here. Just stop. Do you want to be wiser than the people in the world? Do you want to be wiser than the guy next door? Get in the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. Let it be what's running through your head all the time. Wiser. Wiser. Now let's go on here. Verse 99. I have more insight. This is somebody meditating on the Word of God day and night. I have more insight than all my teachers. Kids, you hear that? For I meditate on your statutes. Verse 100. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts, what your Word says. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your Word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path, persistence in the Word of God, time in God's Word. Washing your mind with the Word of God is rewarded, and it's amazing. God's Word is powerful, and it's active, and it's living. But we got to eat it. We've got to drink it. We've got to take it in for it to have that effect of giving us life. The third area of persistence and perseverance I want us to look at is persistence is needed in evangelism. In evangelism, many don't bear fruit in this area, don't multiply, don't bring people into the family of God because they give up too soon. Some never start, but some start and just do that little gentle knock. It's not really working, so I'm just going to walk away. They give up too soon. The truth is, we reap what we sow. That's a biblical precept. We reap what we sow. The more persistent we are in sowing, the more we're going to eventually reap. The more we sow, the more we sow, the more we sow, the more we sow, the more we will reap. That's just how it works. I was in sales for many years in my life, in technology and then in real estate. And in sales, you have this thing called a pipeline. And you want to fill your pipeline. And what you fill your pipeline with is leads and opportunities and potential clients that you're seeking out to make actual real customers and real clients out of them. And so you're marketing yourself and you're marketing your product and you're filling your pipeline with opportunities. And the bigger your pipeline and the more full that your pipeline is, the more you can be assured that you're going to actually find success and that you're going to find transactions and deals and customers that are going to actually come to fruition and you're going to be successful in business, in sales. And so the Word of God, it shows us the same thing of sowing and reaping. The more we sow, the more we fill our pipeline with speaking Jesus and showing Jesus into people's lives, the more people that we're bringing Jesus to, the more fruit, the more outcome we're going to see of people actually getting saved and coming to Christ. The more people we pray for, the more we're going to see people being touched by the very presence of God and miracles and healings. It's a sowing and reaping principle. And it requires perseverance and persistence. And not just kind of going, well, I'll knock a little bit and then nothing's really happening. It must not be, you know, me. Maybe it's not my gifting. You know, evangelism isn't my gifting. I heard a quote, actually I read a quote this week that blew my mind. I did post it on Facebook and I only got 6 likes, so it's not a very popular quote, but I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head right now. I guess I could open Facebook right now. But it was from Charles Spurgeon, and it went along these lines. A Christian who is not a missionary is an imposter. So here's what it means. It doesn't mean that a Christian who isn't going on a foreign mission trip or that isn't a missionary in Africa or Asia or something like that is an imposter. It's saying that a Christian who is not actively sharing Jesus with other people, it could be their neighbor, their family member, it could be the person across the street, it could be the person that at the restaurant that they frequent. But a Christian who isn't sharing Jesus, who isn't bringing Jesus into other people's lives in some form, it doesn't always look the same. It's not always preaching. In fact, it's usually not preaching. But it is sharing the love of Jesus Christ with other people. And Spurgeon was just pointing out the fact that the person who isn't doing that, that there's a disconnect there. There's something that's not right. And so we've got to have that on our minds, evangelism. And we need to be about it. And God rewards perseverance. I want to tell a quick story of perseverance. Again, it's a basketball story. I'm sorry for all the baseball fans out there. I just didn't play baseball and I don't have baseball stories. But I was coaching a game. It was a semifinal game for a California tournament. It was 3 or 4 years ago. It was the JV team. And we were down by 7 points with 2 minutes left. The momentum was totally not in our direction. I called a timeout. I brought the team over to the sidelines. And I said, guys, this is it. It's either, you know, we're going to either do this or we're not going to do this. Are you guys ready to do this? And they were all excited. And we prayed. We literally prayed right then. We asked God to help us. And everyone on the team had determined in their hearts and in their minds and in their bodies that they were going to give it everything they had, that they were going to persevere to the end on this thing. They went out on the court, and at the end of the game, we won. It was still one of the best finishes of a high school basketball game I've ever seen in my life. We have it on film. It was amazing. But it was because of perseverance. It's because they didn't give up that they won. And I just want to throw that out there. There are people in your life right now that the Lord has put in your life and you in their life to actually bring the love of Jesus Christ, to share His love, to pray for them, to bring the reality that God is alive and He does care. And the Lord's put you in people's lives so that they could see Him. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Even if it seems like you're behind. My grandfather was 96 years old. It seemed like it was too late to win that game, quote unquote, win that game. But people didn't give up. We pushed all the way till that final buzzer. And 6 seconds or 6 months, however you want to look at it, before that buzzer, boom, the victory came. Don't give up. If you have loved ones that you've been sharing Christ with and showing His love, don't give up. Just keep being Jesus to them and showing them the love of Jesus. Persevere in that because God rewards perseverance and He encourages it. I want us to look at Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11 once again. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Who does God give things to? His children. If you know Jesus Christ, who are you? His child. And why does God give good gifts to His children? Because He's good, but why else? Because His children do what? They ask for the good gifts. So do you believe that God is good? Amen. Amen. And He loves you. He loves you enough to give you the good gifts that He has for you. The Apostle Paul puts this principle in very strong words in Ephesians 3. He says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. And then it says later on that we can be filled up to the fullness of God. That's what God has for His children. Again, do you believe this about our Heavenly Father? Is this how we're approaching Him then? In these realities, that He's good and that He rewards those who ask and that He loves it when His children come to Him and ask Him for good gifts. Some of you have heard the story about this building, how we got this building. This is a gift from God. It's beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine. It required us to expand our expectations and increase our ability to receive from Him. And God is good and gave us more than we ever hoped for or imagined. This is so much more than we thought. God is good. The Apostle John makes these statements. It's found in 1 John 5, also in 1 John 3. He makes these kinds of statements where he says that we know that He, God, hears us in whatever we ask. So we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. So what kind of stuff is Jesus talking about? What kind of good gifts is He talking about? I will tell you what, it's more than we could ever hope for or imagine. It's more than just more stuff. It's more than more toys, more than vacations and all that. I want us to really dial in right now to the heart of God in all of this when we're asking, seeking, and knocking. Because God has big gifts for us, and here is what He's talking about right here. It's found in the parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Which of you, if you ask his son for a fish, will give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. You see, God has amazing big gifts for us beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine, beyond our daily needs. He said when we seek first His kingdom, He's going to take care of our daily needs. And He said, but I got way more than just your daily needs. I got way more than you just getting a good night's sleep. I have spiritual gifts. I have myself, the Holy Spirit, myself, to pour out all over your life, through your life. I have amazing, miraculous things that I want to do in you and through you. You're my child. You've been set apart through Jesus Christ for me to glorify myself through you. I've got big plans for your life, child. Big plans. So keep asking me for those big things. Keep seeking. And keep knocking, because I want to pour my Spirit out in you and through you in so much power that you'll be blown away. That you get to be part of my plans. God-sized stuff. This is what God has for His children who keep asking, seeking, and knocking. It's big. It's not small. I'm reminded of Paul's encouragement in 1 Corinthians. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, be desperate. Be persistent about it. I've run out of time. I'd love to tell the story again about how I was desperate to just prophesy. I wanted to prophesy. I'd never done it. I just asked. I sought it out. I knocked. And the Lord started revealing that gift in my life and pouring it into my life. It was amazing. Do you want to see the things that God talks about in His Word happening in your life? Are you asking? Are you continuing to ask? Are you continuing to seek? Are you continuing to knock? Or are you falling for the lie of the enemy? He says, that just must not be for me. That must be for the other person. Or maybe that's not even really what he's talking about in here. No, don't fall for that lie. He has amazing spiritual gifts that he wants to pour out. I will tell you something. I've been praying for this church for gifts of miraculous powers. He has these gifts that he hands out to people in the body of Christ as he sees fit in his perfect timing and in his sovereignty. I have been spending time in the prayer room. One of my prayers is, God, release the gift, the Holy Spirit gift of healing. God, that there would be people in this church that would walk in the power of healing in this church. You talk about it in your word, God. I eagerly desire it. I want to see more of it. I want to see it manifest itself right here. And so I'm in the process of asking and seeking and knocking for those greater things that God has for His church. I believe we're already seeing some of the beginnings of it. But God will do it because His word is true, and He is true, and He is good. And He says, if we continue asking, seeking, and knocking, that He will give us these amazing gifts that He talks about in His Word. So I just want to encourage us right now as the body of Christ. Believe what His Word says. Don't accept less than. Don't settle. He is God. He's your Heavenly Father. He doesn't want you to settle. He wants you to have the best. His best. For you, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the world. The world needs a church that's eagerly, continually asking, seeking, and knocking. The world, the lost world, needs a church that is receiving these good spiritual gifts from their Heavenly Father. The world needs a church that's walking in the reality of this. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Hebrews 11:6. God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Let's raise our hands. Lord, we are those who earnestly seek You. And God, when we are not earnestly seeking You, Holy Spirit, would You just fall upon us and just give us the unction to do that? God, to be those people who are earnestly seeking You. God, that we would be those that as You are looking to and fro for those people who are earnestly seeking You or are fully given to You, that God, that You would demonstrate Your power and Your glory in us and through us and show Yourself strong. God, we want to be those people. And we thank You that in so many ways we are those people. Let us grow in that. God, let us keep asking, seeking, and knocking, and just see where this is going to go. See where You're going to take us, what You're going to do in us and through us, that You would be glorified, God. That's our heart's desire, that You would be glorified, that any roadblocks, any dams that have been created in our hearts and in our minds, any lies that we believe that have prohibited us from receiving the fullness, God, that those things would be torn down and removed, God. We want all of You. We want You to be glorified. We love You, God. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that it is alive and active and it's working in us and through us. In Jesus' name.